believe there's one Lord. Can we say one Lord?
One Lord.
Come on, one Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
One God.
Follow all. Who's above all. Through all. In you all. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise.
We bless the Lord, amen. We thank God for this way called holiness. Amen. Isaiah the prophet said, the way shall be there. Can we say, any way?
Way.
Any way means how many?
One.
Jesus said, I am?
Way.
The way. So Isaiah the prophet said, the way shall be there. And it shall be called the way of holiness. And we bless the Lord for that on this afternoon. Isaiah said, that way is going to be so plain and clear that not even a fool shall hear the end. Amen. But it says, I'm clean. If you're not right with God, you cannot go this way. So we praise the Lord and we bless the Lord. Amen. Truly we give honor to the Spirit of the Lord that's here in this place. Amen. I thank God for my wife. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We went to Georgia. She struggled there and on the way back. But she was faithful. Amen. A couple of times she said, do you mind if I sleep in? I said, well, you don't feel well. Sleep in. I wasn't tired. Amen. Well, we bless the Lord that she went safely. Amen. And Sister Irene went with us as well. And we bless the Lord for traveling mercies. And we thank God for all the elders and ministers, the ministry, the musicians, and everyone that in their respective places that kept everything going. Amen. We thank God for the message. Amen. All we need is
love.
All we need is
love.
Love. Amen. That was Minister Bloomfield's message. Amen. And then Minister Simon came behind him and said that, can you read
the
signs? And if you can read them, are you following them? Amen. Yes, I get preached to too. You know what? When I'm in service, I make it my responsibility because they need a meal. So I have to make sure I have my meals as well, even though I was away, but this is home. Amen. There's no food like home cooking. Amen. So I make it my responsibility to hear the word of God. But we truly, we thank God. Amen. And as my wife and Minister Bloomfield said, we want to keep Bishop J.D. Guthrie's family in prayer. Amen. We know that she's in a better place. She was a pastor. She was saved. Amen. But even though you know they're in a better place, that emotional attachment is always there. My father died last year. Amen. But it's still there. My mother died in the year of 2000, I believe May of 2000. But she's still with me. Amen. So death is one of those challenging things. Amen. As a kid, I was telling my wife, when we were growing up, we had a misconception about death. I don't know if anybody had that misconception, but we believe that when you die, that you just dreamed on forever. Until I read a tract one time that said there's a waiting place called hell. I was like, what? That was an eye-opener. I was 10 years old. 10 years old, or 9, never forget it. Read the tract, and I was like Minister Simon. I was sleeping with my brother every night. You know, initially we fought. Right? We had three of us, and we'd fight about who the younger brother was sleeping in whose bed. And I read that track, I invited him. I don't know what he's gonna do. But I invited him, you know why? Because hell is real and heaven is real. And whatever misconception you have, get that out your mind. The way you live is the way that you will be judged. Amen. We just bless the Lord. Nevertheless, let's get to the word of God, amen. I'm not using nepotism. What's nepotism? Right? Favoritism to other people in your family, but I just use the people that I'm around a lot. Amen. But I thank God for Gio Giovanni's testimony. It's good when a young person can testify and not be ashamed to shed a tear for Jesus. It's good to testify. Amen. He said he was barely 12 or 13 years old talking about all my sins. All my sins. Lord have mercy. What in the world do we have? Amen. But it's good to hear a testimony like that. Amen. And You know, like I said, I'm not using nepotism, but I'm just using what I'm around. Because they like to help me when we break it down. Like yesterday, we were breaking down the equipment and taking it, and Giovanni and Justice. Is that right? And Justice helped me. And as we were moving stuff back and forth, you know, it's kind of strange. Giovanni graduated on Friday. And he said, "Oh, are you and Grandma going out to eat?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, Justice, that ain't what he called him, but that's what we call for the sake of his formal name." He's like, "Well, Justice, if we go out and eat, I'll pay for your dinner." I was like, "You know, that's really nice." Because he didn't get that much money by the time he finished eating. He wouldn't have much left over. So my wife said, "Well, don't you want to save your money for something?" She said, "No, I just use it this way." So we felt bad. We didn't want to use this money, so we paid for it. Amen. But what I'm saying is, it's good for young people to be involved with God. Amen. And it's good for parents to train young people to stay involved with God. But let us stand for our scripture reading. There's so much more that I could say. Amen. You know, I always look for, where's Elijah? Is he hiding behind the pole again? Oh, there he is. A pole hiding behind the pole. But I always get a pleasure out of him testifying and all of the young people. You know, it shows that you have a heart for God. And we should never, under any circumstance, be ashamed of God. Jesus said, "If you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you." But our scripture reading this morning is coming from Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, and then drop down to read verses 29 through 35. Amen. The book of Judges. I don't know, many of you may be familiar with the story of Jephthah, but a lot of times we don't like to go in the Old Testament too much. But his message, because he made a vow to God, is a message that we should live from our hearts. Amen? Come on, y'all, don't leave me now.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to, if you have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
For those who do not have it, it is on the screen. So we're going to start off reading in verse number 1 to verse number 8. Verse number 1 to verse number 9, and then let's get down to verse 29 through 35. Amen? Verse 1 reads, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of the Lord, and he was the son of..." Oh, when you hear that, you always say, you know what, everybody look at you and something wrong. Amen? All right, y'all can fake it, but that's what, yeah, when they know that you are not come from a legitimate thing, they look at you and they look down. "He was a son of an harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a..." Amen. When you ain't like everybody else, people can look down on you. Bless the Lord. "Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time..." God has a time. Thank you. How many know God has an appointed time? He can act up with you. But in God's own time, in the process of time, "that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me, and expel me out of my father's house? And why ye come unto me now, when ye are in..." Lord have mercy. When people get in trouble, they can act up to things ain't going right. Then they come and get somebody who they know can help them. Amen. That's why don't get upset when people mess up and act up and act ugly with you in the process of time. They know where they get. Can we say in the process of God? They know where their help comes from. Verse 9 said, and Jephthah, verse 8 said, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all. In the beginning, they didn't even want him in the house. Hallelujah. But in God's time, he now he's going to be over all. What a mighty God we serve. I might not have what they want now, but in God's own time, ye shall be our head. And the L of verse 29, sorry, let's go down to verse 29. Amen. There's a whole lot in between, which I'll take the time to explain it, but we don't want to read all of it right now. Verse 29 says, then the Spirit of the Lord came up. In God's time, when God has something for you to do, he also comes to help you. God won't send you to do something and leave you by yourself. So it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whosoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon and fought against them, and the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came, and then the Spirit of the Lord what? Delivered them into his hand. And so he spoke them, verse 34. And Jephthah came to Mizpah, unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she, you know the word of God is, she was what is? God has a way of doing things, amen. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. Lord, we bless you on this afternoon. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we ask you to send thine anointing. Lord, send our spirit to heal. Send thy healing spirit to deliver. Lord, send thy spirit to set free. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you at this time to move self out of the way. Lord, move selfish ambitions out of the way. Lord, we ask you to send your spirit, for the Lord is that spirit, and when the spirit of the Lord is, there's living. Lord, we need liberating in our minds. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this story of concerning Jephthah. Amen. But he went from being dishonorable and people not respecting him to them realizing that we can't make this journey without his help. Amen. But what was more important than the people realizing is that the Lord did not leave him alone. It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. You know what happened throughout the whole book of Judges? Always the Samson when he did all of his marvelous miracles. He said, in the spirit of the Lord. Amen. But one time in Samson's life, he didn't realize that the spirit of the Lord had left him. Amen. He went into the battle. He said, I'm going to do what I always do. Ah, glory to God. How many know it's not by might?
Yes.
Nor by power, but it's by my spirit. He said he wished not that the spirit of the Lord had left or departed from him. So as a result, he was taken captive by the enemy. It's important, whatever you do, don't do it by yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Don't do it with a whole lot of people, but make sure God is with you. God's presence, God's spirit is so important. When God got angry with the children of Israel in Genesis chapter 32 and 33 for having an idol, amen, and worshiping while Moses was up speaking and communing with the Lord, when Moses came back down, God said, this is a stubborn people. This is a stiff-necked people. This is a hard-necked people. They don't like to take heed to my word. God said to Moses, you go ahead up. But Moses realized something about God's presence. Hallelujah. Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, I cannot go.
Yes.
He said, if your presence did not accompany us, I cannot go. Amen. It's something about
if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me a
according to that which thou, which has proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord has taken vengeance for thee of thy enemy, she didn't resist God's will. Because he brought her up.
Right.
Amen. Many times when we do something for God, when it comes to somebody real close to us, we like to kind of, oh God, when I open my mouth to you, I didn't think it was going to be like this. How many know we like to try and take some stuff back? Lord, I said it, but I want to take it back. Amen. But the scripture says, can you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to go here real fast because I want you to read it to the Lord to understand. The devil has the one desire. Every promise that we've made to God, his intentions are to make us take it back. Every promise that we made to God, the devil's going to work to make us take it back. And he won't use something that distant that doesn't matter. He's going to use something that's close to try to make you turn your back on God. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear. When you come to church, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do. You know, when you come to church, you just talk so much and you don't take time to listen. You don't know what you're doing or saying. You won't even consider it. Verse 2 reads, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter. Lord, I made you a whole lot of promises, and I've said a whole lot of things. When I look back over those promises, I allow situations, I allow trials, I allow tests not to allow me to fulfill those promises. I'm not talking about any of you. I'm talking about somebody else. But if it fits you, then put the shoe on. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in. And you know what he's saying? He said that God sees. And God hears everything. Because he's in heaven. And the scripture says, only God ruleth in the kingdom of men. And thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Skip to the next verse. Go to the next one. Now it says, when thou vows a vow unto God. Jacob had a vow. But who came out of Jacob's house was not who he expected. Amen. How many of us have made God some promises? But things did not happen like we thought they would. And because, oh God, I didn't think it was going to happen like that. They said, God understands. God understands if I did not fulfill my vow, my pledge, and my commitment to him. But the scripture said, defer not to him. We made promises unto God, but we've allowed circumstances, we've allowed trials, we've allowed tests to make us not keep those promises and vows. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow. And when I got saved, I said, Lord, whatever you have me to do, I'll do it. Lord, whatever direction you take me in, I'll do it. Lord, whatever you have me to do, Lord, I'll be faithful in paying my tithes and offering. I'll be faithful to come to church. But there's an unexpected deal. God will understand. If you made a vow to God, do not defer to pay it, because God has no pleasure in the fool acts as though God doesn't see and that God doesn't know. But how many know that God is in full control? And if God permits it to happen, he's not permitting it to happen to overthrow you. But he wants to know, are you going to keep your or are you going to go back on it? This afternoon, I can't go back. God has been too good. God has made too many promises. Amen. I promised God when I got saved, Lord, I'll serve you till I die. Hallelujah. That was when I was early in salvation. But I didn't expect these kind of trials. So now I'm drawing back from God. I'm slipping back from God. Amen. Listen, from Genesis to Revelation, the devil's
then he said to another, he said, Lord, he said,
Amen. And now the devil likes to use things to try to make us procrastinate. Amen. Say, well, I'm going to do it, but in my own time. Jesus said, follow me. He said, well, let me first go back and bury my father. Now, somebody said, God is incompassionate. No, God is not interested in excuses. If God has given you a job to do, then you need to do it. He said, well, let me first go back and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Amen. And then he comes to the last individual and tell him to follow me. He said, well, let me go back to my father's house and to my family and bid them farewell. Notice the things that are trying to hold us back. It's that loved one. It's that one that's the closest to us. But God is not telling them, don't have interest in your family. He said, set your priorities in order. So the next, he said, you go, don't worry about that. He said, you go preach the kingdom of God. And then he said, no man can put his hand to the plow and looking, I cannot go back. No man can put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. When I read that, I was like, huh. Everybody knows we get all of our farming from what? Plow. Right? If you don't turn the fields, you're not going to get a good harvest. So I read, back in Israel, I said, well, what was so important about staying focused on looking forward when you were plowing? Well, a gentleman said he had gotten in church and he worked on a farm, and his father kind of taught him, he said, now son, when you're plowing, it's important that you stay focused on one point in the field. Don't look around. You got to keep your focus on one thing, because it's important that you have a straight line when you plow. Because when you start off crooked, you end up crooked. When you start off wrong, you end up wrong. So he said, you got to keep your eyes fixed. He said, because when he told his wife, that don't make sense. He said, I want to make sure my line is straight. So every time he go a little further, he looked back. He said, all right, that ain't straight. So he tried to straighten it out. He said, when he got at the end of the row, he looked back, because plowing, you go a long way. He said, that row was so messed up. He said, I guess my father told me right. You know why it's so important to stay focused? Because when you stay focused, you're fixed on one point. Amen. And the devil can't use distractions to cause you to want to look back. So he said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is sick. You know why? Because the time you look back, your life is going to be messed up, crooked, and then what's going to happen? Because you didn't follow the right step, you're going to try and fix it. Amen. You're going to try and straighten it out, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. So Jesus said, when you're plowing, you got to stay focused. I understand what Paul said, looking unto
Jesus.
You got to stay, you're plowing. When you get saved, you're now plowing. The moment you take your eyes off of the prize, the moment you take your eyes off of that point, you will mess up. And instead of you fixing situations, you will mess them up. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, but looking what? Unto Jesus. What are you looking? I'm looking for. Looking unto Jesus. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Paul said, I can't go back. He said, I can't look back. Amen. He said, well, when I consider how messed up I was, amen, when I consider the place that I was in, Paul said, nevertheless, he said, I count all things but loss that I may win Christ. I wonder this afternoon, what's stopping you? What one thing are you holding on to that's stopping you from winning Christ? Have you counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I suffer the loss of? I wonder this afternoon, what's causing you to draw back from God? What little things is the devil using in your life to make you want to look back? Amen. You know what the devil does? He uses our trials to make us live a life of regret. I regret this. You need to thank God. Hallelujah for where you are. In everything, the things you like, give thanks. The things that are ugly, give thanks. The unexpected, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So stop looking back with regret. It's time to go forward. It's time to conquer. It's time to be what God wants you to be. Yes, there's some heartaches and there's some pains along the way, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I heard the scripture say, my God will deliver them out of them all. Oh God, I don't understand. Oh God, I can't figure it out. But I know as long as I keep my hand in your hand, everything is going to be all right. So many are the afflictions. Anybody know that I've been going through some hard? Somebody say, I've been going through some stuff.
I've been going through some.
Guess what? You're not alone. But God and only God will deliver you. Amen. Paul, after he'd been stoned, after he'd been mistreated, after they turned their back on him, the Bible says everywhere when they were mad at him, he went back confirming the souls of the saints. And it encouraged him that we shall, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Let the trial come. Let the devil likes to turn it into a natural reaction. Listen, when God gives us a spiritual principle, the devil's desire is to make you have a natural reaction. Why? Because the natural action walks by sight. The spiritual walks by faith. You think the devil wants you to walk by faith? He can't come to you if you walk by faith. So Jesus gives them a spiritual principle. He said, except you eat my meat and drink, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the Bible says, God, now look at somebody saying, he was talking about something spiritual. God was talking about something spiritual. He said, but from that point, Nitty, I went back. I can't go back. I don't understand, but I still can't go back. Lord, I know that if you said it, it's all right. I can't go back. Hallelujah. So the scripture says, from that point on, many of his disciples went back. And then he looked at the apostle. He said, will you go also? Hallelujah. Because you don't understand it right now. Somebody said, in a little while. By and by, I'll understand it better. By through our natural eyes. And the disciples said, Lord, where can we go? Look at somebody and ask, where you want to go? Where are you going to go? The only God has the words of eternal life.
I didn't know what I
said, we try to get out by saying, God, I did not realize what I was. You did realize it. But you allowed tests and trials to try to pull you back from God. You allowed a person. You allowed an individual. But with all the one tool that the devil would use to make you draw back from God. The Bible said, if any man draw back my soul, have no pleasure in it. So what the devil does, he constantly tries to use people to make us draw back from God. Amen. And then we draw back so far from God, we don't realize what the spiritual state and condition we're in, because the mind is twisted and messed up. I can't go back. I won't go back to the way it used to be.